Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to the Lynch and Roost Cycling Podcast, here with Benji for the first installment of our team previews, a hot success last year, and I'm very excited that they're back this year. We're starting with Trek Segafredo. They're one of the first teams. We thank you, Trek, for completing their roster, 31 riders for 2022, so we can get cracking on them. Even though we are recording this on Tuesday, 23rd of November, Benji's birthday, felicitations to him. Make sure you congratulate him on Twitter. Even though it's the 23rd of November, a lot of teams still haven't announced their complete roster. But anyway, onwards with Trek. What we'll do is, how this is structured, just the same way as last year, season review in 2021, transfers in and out, squads that we project for each discipline next year, Grand Tours, Classics, Hilly One Days, and then we'll do an over-under on World Tour wins that I'll set completely arbitrarily, and then obviously the famous or infamous, depending on how you see it, hot takes section to round it off. But Benny, could you just explain, Trek Segafredo, American registered team, Trek an American company, I believe, but
yes,
I guess they got the Italian component as well with Segafredo, which we see in a lot of their signings.
Yes, certainly, and I think that was a major reason for them to get Nibali involved a few years ago. Now they still have Italian riders in their squad. Ciccone is still here, one of the more known Italian riders currently in the peloton. And they seem to be investing a lot into Italian youngsters. And we will see that in a second in the transfers portion. And I think that's also dependent on their relation to certain U23 teams. They've had quite a few transfers coming from one team, Colpa Balan, in their history. And that's an Italian, feeder team, U23 team. And it's not really connected to them, I think. I don't think it's like 100% that team is the U23 team of Trek, but it's a team that usually has Trek as an interest in their riders. And this year we've got a rider coming from there as well. But yeah, I think it's Segafredo's sponsor that's doing that.
So we'll get straight into their season review in 2021. But before we do that, mention our show partner, Lecole, who produced performance cycling apparel. Speaking of Italy, Lecole's kit is manufactured at the base of Monte Grappa in the Veneto region, where we actually saw 3 1-day races from, organized by Pozzato at the end of this year. But Lecole, based in the UK, expanding quickly internationally, now sponsoring Bora Hansgrohe back in the World Tour next year, as well as ambassadors Cancellara, Wiggins, and Johan Museo, who I think Benji says he sees occasionally on rides in the Lecole kit. But if you want to check them out, they're at www.lecole.cc. They've been supporting the show since its inception last year. That's www.lecole.cc. But Benji, Trek Segafredo, in 2021, 2 World Tour wins, 9—I'm not counting national champs. National champs, I'm flicking. So they won 15 pro races, 2 World Tour wins, but one was a monument, Milano-Sanremo Sturven, and one was a Tour de France stage, the break with Bauke Mollema. 15 wins, 2 at World Tour level. It's, for me, not a good return.
Yeah, it's not enough. I think last season we were looking for them to do better than 2020, which obviously is the case because there's many more races that they rode, but did they do better when it comes to World Tour wins? And that's where I'm like, it depends on how you see the monument of Sturven, because I think that for a team, a monument victory can do a lot, but only one stage win across 3 Grand Tours and across all the one-week races that we have in World Tour is just not enough for a team like Trek Segafredo, and especially because the team is so focused on attacking riders. And I think that an aspect to this is that they went to the Giro with Ciccone as leader and Nibali with his wrist injured. So you're basically saying to yourself, we're restricting ourselves here. Mollema focused on the one-day races, which didn't go as successfully as people were expecting, as we were expecting even last year. And therefore, he wasn't that great in breakaway stage in the Giro itself. in the Tour, he did get that stage win, and they did get, I think, 3 podiums in other stages during that Tour de France. So were they having a lot of almosts? Sure, but in the Vuelta, they should also just have a rider or two that are at least getting close or having a stage win, to be honest. Pedersen, all over the year, he won Kuna, for example, and won a few stages here and there, but not World Tour level, and Pedersen really disappointed for me. But he had COVID, of course.
COVID seems to have been a massive problem for them in the spring, and that's why I guess that's a big reason one would think for the disappointing results there. Like Pedersen, for example, E3, DNF, Gent-Wevelgem, DNS, Ronde van Vlaanderen, DNF. So something wasn't right there. Out of those 3 races, only 1 top 10, which was Sturven, who was strong, Tour of Flanders 4th. And yeah, Omloop and Kuurne is the emblematic of that, Benji, where Omloop was a bit of a disaster, not making that 30-man group. Yeah. And then they win the next day at Kuurne, which I know it's not a World Tour race, but it sort of counts as one to me. But yeah, 2 World Tour wins. Sturven at MSR, right place, right time, have to be strong to do it. So all credit to him for that. But is it replicable? Probably not. Next year, like one wouldn't expect. And Mollema, Benji, to your point, I'm giving Mollema I think he had a fine season. He was just heavily over-raced, in my view. Mm-hmm. 81 race days, which is a lot. Giro, he clearly wasn't in good form, getting dropped in breaks where he was better than a lot of those riders. And you saw his true level at the Tour when he won, riding away from a stronger group, won Trofeo Laguelia. And then, yeah, 81 race days is a lot. So I think a lot fell on Mollema, Benji, with Ciccone not focusing on the one days, where you'd think actually Ciccone would be the hilly one-day racer to take some of the load off Mollema. But he didn't do the Italian Classics, Ciccone, probably because of the crash of Welter, I assume. Was it a bad crash? Because he DNF'd both Welter and Giro with crashes.
I vaguely remember the crash, so I actually don't remember if it was a very consequential for the rest of the season. I would expect so as well, because you would have him at the Lombardia race if he's in good enough form to be there, you know, because he always usually does it. And they were focusing on Nibali for that in 2021 as a consequence. So I would see that as a reason. But yeah, do you think that Ciccone should have gone for stage wins in that Giro?
No.
Or is that too hindsight?
No, I think it's fine to go for stages. I'm not sure if he was going for stages in the Vuelta. That's the one where he seemed to be clearly undercooked, but still trying to hold on GC a little bit. But in the Giro, I don't know where he was. He was 5th or 6th or something. I think that's fine to go for stages. Was Nibali going for stages? That's the question. I'm not sure.
For GC, you mean? Right?
Yeah. Ciccone to go for GC was fine. Nibali, I'm not sure what he was doing. He came like 18th, didn't he? I know he was injured, but whether he was just trying to hold on GC.
He was attacking on the most useless hills to try and get away from the peloton, and then Moscon tries to follow him and descends, and then that leads to a crash from Moscon. So, yeah, I think Nibali was just trying to race there, and I don't think we had high hopes going into that Giro for Nibali, and I think that the only reason he was there is probably because he wanted to be there, and also because of marketing purposes that they wanted 100%. To get the value out of his high contract that he has at Trek Segafredo had, because it's kind of still running, you know, until end December. But overall, I think it's not the season we were expecting, like at least my take on it.
And as well, Benji, 2 top 10s in World Tour stage races, including Grand Tours. 5th for Skelmose Jensen at UAE, where he got on the right side of the crosswind split. So fortuitous, but right place, right time again, but then he had to hold on the climbs. 5th there, and then 7th for Sturven at Benelux. So broadly not competitive on GC in World Tour 1 weeks either, Trek Segafredo, and not competitive in World Tour sprints really outside of Pedersen, who has a heavy load as both their classics leader typically, and one would think, although shared with Sturven, and then their sprinter as well out of Paris-Nice. So a lot hinges on Mads Pedersen at Trek Segafredo. Other bright spots, though, were Tour de Wallonie, Quinn Simmons winning a stage in GC. Still a teenager, I think, in a 2-dot pro race with tough competition there. And I'm trying to look for some other bright spots. I mean, Nibali winning Giro di Sicilia, Benji. Good marketing, I guess. And yeah, that's about it, I think. Pedersen coming back, that Denmark sprint was good. But what do you see from this as the glaring, like, what's missing in this team to be better? And what do we even mean by better? Is it being in the top three of World Tour stages more regularly? Is it being in the top five or seven of GC in World Tour stage races generally? Like, what is better? Because both of those things are missing for me.
I think it's a combination of many things. First of all, last year we already mentioned that we don't see a clear future when it comes to a GC rider with time trial, with climbing abilities on this team. Kjell Mose Jensen is one of the riders that has that quality, but has not proven himself in World Tour races enough to even be considered in the top 10 in a Dauphiné, for example. No. So he's not at that level yet. So we're not near that yet. But if you look further, a Ciccone just doesn't have that time trial. And then we already start looking at the very youngsters. We saw JP Lopez for the first time GC-wise in the Vuelta. He actually did pretty well for the initial part of that Vuelta and ended up 13th in the end, which is good. But once again, it's not the guy with the best time trial skills. So they are missing something there as a GC leader, in my opinion. Mollema's kind of passed it in that area, in my eyes. But if he can prove me wrong, I'm fine.
He could do it. He could definitely do it. He doesn't want to. Mollema can top 10 GC 1 week World Tour races. Yeah. He can.
Yeah, but why would he?
I know.
Sprinter? They don't have an all-out pure sprinter, as in Mads Pedersen, sure, he can sprint, but this year that was not really the case in the majority of the races. He obviously had that COVID issue, and that has led into many of his races, but it only ended up being very valuable in the likes of a Norway and Danmark Rundfahrt, and I think also one stage win in the early season. The Kuhn, of course, is the one I'm looking for. But outside of that, Binkbank is second place. He didn't have those wins, and the ones at World Tour that I'm looking for Pedersen in sprints. And last year he had that at Bologna, of course, but Bologna is a lower classification of sprints, of course. I was expecting more from his sprints this year, and I think that they lack a reliable sprinter that can consistently give them sprint victories. And then we look at Moschetti, who is looking at their team, one of their outsider sprinters, but he's also very inconsistent and unreliable throughout the season. So I don't know. They're missing that to get easy victories, also in 1.pro and so forth. So yeah, they're missing that. And then when I look at stages in the breakaway, they've been up there. Like Fontu, they were second and third with Elizonde and with Mollema once again. But the problem is there's always someone in there that is better. Wout van Aert was better in Fontu. Mater was better in the stage that Mollema was in, well in the Giro stage. Then again, here, well, Mohoric kind of ruined Mollema there by having him chase for like 10 kilometers. By Mohoric was in the first break together with Mater, and Mollema was chasing alone, and he was trying to follow, and it took like 30 kilometers before Mollema could actually get to the front group. So that probably had an influence on his energy at the end of the stage. But yeah, all that stuff, they're just always one shot. I think Stuyven was also second on that stage in the Tour that Mohoric won, stage, or was it the Giro stage?
Stage 7, Tour de France.
So yeah, there's always like one rider better, and yeah, that's an aspect that is important, and they don't necessarily have the riders that could be that one rider better in many occasions, unless for Mollema, in my eyes.
I think Stuyven was very, very good this year. Goes without saying, he won their biggest race of the year.
Yeah.
I think, obviously, he should have medaled at Worlds as well. And, you know, pretty consistent classics and fourth at Tour of Flanders is not too bad at all. And then, like, Criterium du Dauphiné, he was kind of going for sprints. He really climbs quite well, Jasper Stuyven, and had a, yeah, I don't know, he'd be almost a clearer leader in the classics on other teams. I'm not sure if Pedersen, I don't know, like Paris-Roubaix, for example, Pedersen got crashed out by Rowe. If Pedersen comes third in Roubaix, does that change our perspective on things?
You know, maybe, it probably does.
Maybe it does. I think what Benji is talking about with Moschetti, I think with team construction, just a guy like Moschetti is just not moving the needle. You look at, unless you're Ineos and UAE, where even UAE, frankly, like Juan Sebastian Milano, he's better than Moschetti as a sprinter in like those dog pro attack. He's better than Moschetti. And unless you're Ineos or UAE, if you're like the De Koenigs or other teams racking up points, you need multiple good sprinters. And Trek are kind of missing that. And I think there's just so many points and stages available in all these races and all these stage races. Sometimes if there's a five-day stage race, two or three will be sprints. And you need a guy coming second or third or fourth, first to pick up points. Now, we don't really talk about UCI points, and I'll say this in this pod so I don't have to say it in for the rest of the team previews. The UCI point system is completely fucked. If you win a World Tour stage, so Paris-Nice, say you win Paris-Nice, the weekend stage, say you win Critérium du Dauphiné, you beat Lopez and Port on La Plan, Marc Padoue, you get 60 UCI points. If you come, let me check just to make sure my facts are correct. If you come third in Coppa Bernocchi dot pro race on a Monday in October, 2 minutes behind Evenepoel, you get the same number of, no, sorry, you get double the UCI points. You get 125 UCI points. If you come sixth, you get more points. So Antonio Puppio, who came sixth in Coppa Bernocchi, probably not televised, it was, got more UCI points than a World Tour stage win. So the system is pretty broken. You get a lot of points for like fifth, 225, I think, on GC and World Tour stage races. So Kelderman has over 1,000 points this year. It's, to me, not equivalent to actual success, and I hope teams don't use it as a KPI, because if sponsors are sponsoring teams for exposure, the UCI points to me seem completely disconnected from actual exposure. Have you got any thoughts on that system, Benji? Because me and you, neither of us really look at it normally.
Yeah, certainly, because it obviously isn't good enough. And that goes back to, I think, the year where Matthews did very well in the Canadian Classics, Quebec and Montreal, where winning one of those, Quebec or Montreal, had the same amount of points as winning Milano-San Remo. And winning Milano-San Remo is about 50 times more important than Quebec. Is that a good amount?
If Matthews wins, then no, they're equal.
Okay. Let's go to the next thread, because this is becoming an Australia advertisement propaganda.
Onto the transfers now, which is my favorite part of this. So the outgoing from Trek Segafredo, Kern de Kort had that unfortunate accident here in Andorra. He rolled one of those buggy quad bike things and hurt his hand really badly. He's retired. Kiel Ranian, the American's retired. Vincenzo's going to Astana, and so his big salary is coming off the books, although that doesn't necessarily mean the money's still there. Maybe Segafredo were only putting it up because he was there. Ryan Mullen to Bora Hansgrohe to be the lead-up man for Sam Bennett. Nicholas Egg back to Uno X, the Danish guy, didn't really work out. Nicola Conchi to Gazprom. Antonio Nibali to Astana with his brother. Michael Rees to Arkea and Charlie Quarterman. I'm not sure what's happening with him. So there are no – the only wins going out, Benji, is Nibali to Nibali.
Nibali to Nibali. What?
Yeah. No, so he's the only rider of those riders leaving that won a race this year. So I don't think they're, I don't think they're missing too much. I wouldn't have re-signed any of those riders either, frankly.
I agree. I believe that Nibali's salary was way too high for what he was worth, and that's – a very big Nibali fan saying that. We said that a year ago that he wouldn't be worth re-signing, and he's proven it when it comes to his results. Sure, he broke his wrist or had a wrist injury in the Giro, but I don't think it would have changed too much. Perhaps he would have accidentally ended up in the top 10, but I don't think it would have been much more than that, because he's obviously focusing on GC, which I, at this point in his career, don't like, because I would love for him to go to a Grand Tour. Please let this be the year at Astana. Go to a Grand Tour for stage wins and just win a stage, man. Come on, do it for me. But yeah, there's not that much gone. And you look at these riders and I think they're replaceable. And we look at the riders that are coming in and I see, I don't know, it is a mixed bag.
It is.
You see it the same way?
It's real love-hate for me. Like I have really strong opinions on all of them, both positively and negative. I'll do the positives first because I was a little bit negative about their season review. I think Trek have done some really good business here for some of these riders. First of all, Dan Hoel on coming from SEC Racing Academy, big Dutch rider, 22 years old. He won Italian one-day race, second at Flanders Tomorrow Tour behind Mick van Dijk, big engine, sixth at U23 ITT. I think he's like 2 meters tall, you know, 85 kegs, this guy. Part of the Dutch dominant team time trial at Tour de l'Avenir. He's just going to slot perfectly in, one would think, into their already strong classics team of Pedersen, Turns, Sturven. He should slot in there. And also, one thing I've noticed, particularly Paris-Nice, the one that Case Bol won, where Pedersen was good and did come third and second in stages one and two there. The problem with Pedersen's leadouts has been being left on the front too early, because they've just run out of men. They've had Sturven, they've had Edward Turns, they need the Casper Asgreen engine or to do the 1,600 metres or 1,500 metres to 800 metres. And that's where I think Darnoul should fit in. Are you as high on him, Benji? Is he like a Niels Eckhoff kind of guy to me?
For me, his best results or his most important results are that I think AFAT was at Chimay-Binge or something at the end of the season, and then early season at top at 20 at Le Sommet. Those are races I would love to see him be done in more, and you're right, that's more the classics theme. But then I look at their report of when they signed him, and the words of Mark Alirizar, their talent scout, are that he's going to be part of the lead out for Moschetti or Pedersen. I think that's more going to be the lead out for Pedersen personally. I think you'd probably agree on that.
This guy's better than Moschetti. What the fuck is he going to be leading out for? Drop him.
And also going to be a time trialist. And that's something I don't like about the way they announce these transfers, because Dan Hola, for example, we'll speak about some of the others later, like a Baroncini, and like a Baroncini, for example, they all are announced as they're potentially good time trialists in the future. But literally 90% of the World Tour new young signings have gotten good time trial results in their U23 years. Like, I can say that about 90% of these riders. I'm more impressed by the other results, and I'm more impressed by the other roles they can give to a team, because time trialing is great, but at younger years, you want them to be able to support a team as well, and you want them to be able to have potential in other areas as well, so that they're not solely time trialists, because we've seen that that is somewhat of a dying breed in the peloton, unless you're one of the very best time trialists. And that's what I like about Dan Hol as well, is that he's versatile in many areas. And the same goes for some of the other youngsters they signed. One of the more unknown ones is Marc Brustinga, Spanish rider. He is 22, rode for Filial Caja Rural, which is basically a U23 team for the Pro Conti team of Caja Rural. So he rode mainly the Copa España there, which is this year-long tournament of multiple Spanish races for the youngsters in Spain or amateur riders in Spain. Don't know if it's combined or solely youngsters. And he ended up third in that Copa España after winning 5 Spanish races right there. And according to Irizar, once again, the talent scout at Trek, versatile sprinter, lead out for Moschetti and Pedersen. So same story. They're looking to build that up a bit more. And also a good rider for the future for Northern Classics. And it seems like that's a focus for both these signings. And I don't know.
Where's he got that from? Where's he got the fact that a 22-year-old Spanish kid who raced north of the Pyrenean border, that's going to be good in the Northern Classics? Spanish riders good in the Northern Classics are very few and far between. You know, Juan Antonio Fletcher, one of the better ones. This guy said he's good hilly. I mean, Euros, European champs, and L'Avenir and Worlds, he DNF'd. So, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure he's not being paid $1 million, but I don't really see it with him. But, yeah, so I'm a bit lower on Brustinga. That's a funny signing from my perspective. But Baroncini, Benji, the other talent, and these are all they're all stacking up. They've already got Quinn Simmons is super young. They've got Skelmose Jensen. Baroncini, we mentioned him in a recent podcast. Obviously, one World Champs U23, second at European Champs Road Race, stage at Juppé Bigiro. Looks like a great one-day racer. Can't wait to see him at Lombardia and all the Italian one-days. I think just quickly, we Yeah, we just see him as a good one-day racer. Hopefully he goes to La Guelia straight away in February or March, and I think he'll be pretty good straight away, actually.
I agree. Italian Classics is where I see him as well, and same story, he's announced to be a time trialist and decent climber for the team, but I would straight up say Italian Classics is the area that he's showing well at, and that Coppa Sabatini result is still the one that I'm most hyped about because that was against World Tour competition. And yes, he got beaten by Vlogan and Colbrelli, but he beat the likes of Moscon and Covey. So yeah, that shows that you can beat pretty decent riders on a hilly parkour in Italy. And we've got quite a few of those in the .pro and .1 races.
So now going to the incoming transfers for riders who you will be familiar with. And some of these make no sense. So Tony Galopin from Asia Dessert Citroën. Okay, you've already got Julien Bernard. I don't know what Tony Galopin. Not going to move the needle. Dario Cataldo on a one-year deal. Maybe they want him to. It's a transition into becoming staff member. He's, I think, 36. Coming from Movistar. Your friend of Trek love a friends and family deal, don't they? Antonio Nibali. Egholm, there's friends for Pedersen. Well, now Jasper Stuyven, if you win a monument, you get to sign one of your friends. So
well, actually, Otto Vergaard is a friend of Stuyven.
No, that's signing. What I mean. He won MSR, and with MSR in his contract, you get to sign one of your mates at Trek Segafredo. That seems to be how the contracts work. Because Nibali won it at Bahrain. Otto Vergaard, the guy who you remember headbutting the Kazakh Astana rider and getting disqualified from Tour of Flanders, has got a deal there from Alpecin. So, yeah, he'll just slot in as a domestique, one would think, in their classics team. But otherwise, other signings include Antoine Tolhoek from Jumbo Visma. He won a stage of Tour de Suisse in 2019, second at Andalusia this year, 27. Turning 28 in April. He's not a young prospect anymore on a two-year deal. And I don't know what he's getting paid. Listen, if it's on a tiny salary, then why not? If it's on a lot, then I don't really see it either. Simon Pelot, who came from Androni, I don't mind. I think Pelot actually could be good in a break Benji on a World Tour team who's like, okay, you don't need to go for the Fugity Fuga. What's the award, the Giro award called?
Yeah, I think it's that. Fugo or something.
No, that's the Movistar thing. He goes into suicide breaks. Yeah, don't do that anymore. Let's try win some stages, Simon.
Yeah, certainly. But one of the transfers that I am pretty interested in, that I'm not sure will be great, but does show potential, is another Danish youngster that is joining Asbjørn Hellemose, which is basically the same we had with Schelmose Jensen last year. We didn't know what Schelmose Jensen was at the start of the season. And he ended up being a climber with decent time trial skills. Well, that's exactly what this guy is, because he's also decent at the ITT and decent at climbing. He was top five at the Giro U23. His only problem there was that he punctured in the time trial, so he couldn't show his time trial skills in that race. But he's just very similar to the Dane they already have for that. And I'm curious what that will offer. And I'm also curious whether it's staff related or something, that they also sign a lot of Danish youngsters, or whether their scout has a lot in the area, because it's notable that their signings are all like Italian, Danish,
I know,
Belgian, and Netherlands. It's like they want to build on the countries they already have. It's like people in a pro cycling manager save. They're like, oh, I've got Spanish and Italian riders. Let's only get Spanish and Italian riders from this point onwards.
Yeah, Rival, Colpack, and Leopard seem to feed them a little bit, or quite a bit. And the last two signings is Hulgaard from UnoX. And I think I can't wait to see what he'll do at a World Tour team. But the interesting thing, Benji, for me is, does he race with Stuyven Pedersen Turns group? Is that because he's the guy who's fast, or do they send him to some maybe a bit hillier races? Because he came 8th at E3, 19th at Amstel. Let me cherry pick some other results. He won, obviously, that Arctic race stage, and I said someone signed him. 7th at Europeans on a hilly circuit, a very impressive. Then 12th at Worlds. Do you split him up, Benji, and you send him to like the Dauphiné? You remember those Dauphiné stages Colbrelli was the best sprinter at? I feel like you send him there and split. I would split him apart from the Pedersen Stuyven Turns group, except for maybe the three E3 and Wevelhem Tour of Flanders.
We'll talk about it in a bit when it comes to the races that we would send certain riders to, but I would be looking at Hulgar to go to the couple races, because if you get a top 10 in D3, you need to be at those races.
Sure.
And next to that, Amstel, I think that LBL might be too much for him, but I don't know because, well, I don't know. As simple as that. What's up?
I think it's too much. You got to be top puncher.
Yeah, I feel like Amstel is still on the border of you can do this if you're that kind of rider. A Brabant Sappel as well, but perhaps that's not worthy enough of also filling up the calendar if you're already doing the couples and also one hill race of doing Brabants, as well as perhaps a very heavy schedule for a guy that just joined World Tour. But after that, there's really the question of where you send him in a Grand Tour. We spoke about him in one of our Grand Tour previews. I think it was our Giro preview, but in hindsight, I'm not sure. We'll talk about it in a bit, but which one would fit him better? Because would you send him to a Giro where Ciccone is likely leader with four domestiques and you've got Moschetti for the sprints and then Hulgaard is like, should I be supportive or should I go in breakaways?
I think he's a Vuelta man. I think you let him ease into the season a little bit and then go Vuelta whilst Servan and co do Benelux, etc.
You're missing Bing back then, though.
Yeah, but send Pedersen and co will do Bingo Bongo, so...
But this year, Bingo Bongo was not very good for Stefan and Pedersen.
I'm expecting to tease what I'll say in the future. I'm expecting them to be a little bit better next year. Aberastri's the last signing from Caja Rural. Makes no sense to me. I was talking about, you know, you need more sprinters, but Moschetti and Aberastri are not the solution. Nothing against the guy, but he's 32. He is a journeyman pro Conti sprinter and didn't like what he won this year. He won a Slovenia. He's just not that fast. Like, let's be real.
What I found the weirdest when it comes to the announcement of his transfer, they were talking about that they were missing, the general manager said this, that they were missing a rider with these characteristics. And I'm like, Moschetti's right there, mate. Moschetti's also a pro Conti sprinter.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same level. And I don't know, Moschetti has shown like stages where he was like actually like World Tour worthy, like once in 3 years or something. But that's not reliable enough to have that as your main sprint run. It was only in the likes of a Trofeo Mallorca or something, Palma or what it was, in those Mallorcan challenges at the start of the year. So it's not like he's shown that in a World Tour race yet. And I've got the same feeling about Aberasturi. He's going to get perhaps top six, sevens, top fives at Vuelta sprints. But then again, if you've got riders like Moschetti, who do you think is better, Moschetti or Aberasturi?
I don't know. Nor do I care. I don't know. I think the difference between certain World Tour teams is in my view, the point of having a World Tour team, hot take, is to win World Tour races. And for the non-World Tour races, unless they have a very specific marketing benefit or they have a historical like Kerner, the idea of them is to maybe use them as development for other riders. So you see Jumbo-Visma, they sent it to Tour de Hongrie or Crow Race, Mick van Dijk and Olav Kooi, or even Tour de Polonia, Dekker, to get experience in the races that are not as important. They don't sign a 32-year-old to actually try and win those races. And I would rather Trek had signed, even if it may not be possible, but an example, Luca Colnaghi, 22-year-old, quick man, Italian he might be committed somewhere else, but he was on a Conti team.
I think he is.
But I'm sure if Trek had come knocking a year ago, probably would have gone to Trek. I would rather they send him to those races. He probably gets almost less consistent, but similar-ish results to Aberastri. And at least he then has the upside, and then he can maybe be winning World Tour races for you in the future. But that's their transfers. A mixed bag. I largely think they're great. I largely think they're good because I don't think these riders, the ones that I'm a bit iffy on, I don't think they're getting paid an enormous amount. I could be wrong, but yeah, I think it's largely pretty good, and their young core is looking pretty good. But in your last thoughts on their transfers, Benji, how would you rate it out of 10?
About a 5 in the middle.
Depending on salaries, I'd give it a 6.5, 7, because I think there's some real upside in there. But now moving on to our projections for their squads for each discipline next year, which you might have already touched on a little bit, but Giro d'Italia Benji will be Ciccone GC. Too early for Baroncini?
I'd say too early for Baroncini. Sure, he's not the youngest guy that they signed in the team. He's 21, but usually you don't end up sending your rider to the first round where they go to. I've got my list as Ciccone for GC leader, Cataldo, Brambilla, Mosca as mountain domestiques. Mosca being a very underrated domestique, even by us, because we don't talk about him on the domestique podcast, but I look back at his Giro, and he was there like top 50s every single stage. In the mountain stage, he's one of the last like the 10 to 15 riders in the group every time. He's very underrated in that aspect, and I think that he's necessary in a team like this at the Giro if you once again go for Ciccone and GC. And time trial-wise, it's the Grand Tour. You need to go for Ciccone and GC. We've spoken about it already. You are the one that brought it up as Ciccone fitting the climbs and race of the Giro this year, right?
Yeah, Ciccone, this is the year for him to do GC. Like, it's perfect for him. And particularly if there is no Pog Rog, I think it's pretty defendable for him to go for GC, particularly when it's not realistic at the Tour or the maybe Vuelta, but Tour de France top five, I just don't see being feasible. So this is Italian on a half Italian team. Parkour suits him, no TTKs, some sort of descent finishes, got to go for it. Just hopefully he stays upright. Tiberi, I think a little bit early for him to go. They'll send Moschetti, Benji, with maybe one man as a lead out, right? That's what they do.
I don't know who, though. I've been looking at their team and I'm like, should you send Abbrastri as leader? I don't know.
Mark Verstappen.
I don't know. I generally don't know who they would send as lead out. And then I'm looking at the riders that they signed already. And 22-year-old Don Hola, is that too early to go to the Giro? I don't know. It's usually not the first year when they go into World Tour that they are sent to these races, but he's already 22, so it's very much possible that it happens. So someone will have to go. We just don't know who yet. But Simmons, Maglia Rossa attempt, or do you not send him to the Giro?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know what program they're going to do with Simmons again next year. I don't know where he fits. He's the most talented rider on their team, in my view, but I don't know where he fits in. I hadn't really thought, but yeah, Giro, I see Moschetti for sprints and Ciccone, GC, maybe Tolhoek, or Tolhoek goes there as a domestique as well. Tour de France, I think, will be the Danes. Like when you got Pedersen, I think it'll be Pedersen, Skelmos, Jensen, Sturven going for sprints, and I think that'll actually be pretty good. And I think Bauke Mollema going for breakaway stages in the mountains later on. So I think that's quite a good. I think most teams would be envious of that position. And Vuelta, who knows? Well, impossible to do the Vuelta. In terms of classics, Benji, I got Sturven, Pedersen, Hulgaard, because you convinced me, Edward Turns, Otto Vergeda, and anyone else?
I also had the list, Steven Pedersen, Turns, Simmons, Hulgaard, Vergeda. That's the six riders I had named. The likes of an Eggholm went to some couple races last year, but he DNF'd every single one of them. So was Kirsch. It useful? I'm not sure. Kirsch definitely on the list for these. Then you've got seven riders. Probably can find another one that can fill that up without being too... Don Hola. Yeah, definitely a good call, that one. So that's that. But when it comes to the Hilly Classics, then I'm kind of looking at... We've got the Ardennes Classics, which is Amstel, LBL, and Flesch. Even though, is Amstel even in the Ardennes? Not really, but anyway, we'll take it. And then you've got the Italian hill stages towards the end of the season. And then I'm like, I'm divided, because I would send Baroncini to the Italian Classics, but I'm not sure I would send him to the Hilly Classics yet.
I would let him do the Masnada schedule that he did at the end of this year. I think he could do pretty well there. And he gets another year almost of development. It's 11 months away.
Yeah, certainly.
With Tiberi as well. I would say, going back to the Tour de France, I think they'll send Skelmose Jensen to go for GC because he's Danish and he could get 10th to 12th if he keeps improving. JP Lopez, I think, will go Vuelta GC again. That is a note on the Vuelta. And now on the Hilly Classics, in terms of the Ardennes, I think it'll be Hulgaard for some, and then Mollema as well will be their leader. I think Mollema is still eighth at Amstel, eighth at Liège, I think. So he won Lombardy not too long ago. I think they got a pretty good hilly one-day team, but they just got hit with injuries in the Mollema Oval race this year. I think Brambilla, Ciccone, Mollema is pretty good, generally.
Yeah, speaking. But I'm missing a rider that can win those races, and the only rider that I see winning a Hill Classic is someone that goes beyond what we are currently seeing from him, and that's Simmons. But which races would you send him to? We're saying, oh, we'll send him to the Como race and then to the Hill Classics, to Strade, to the Italian Classics, to the Tour. We can't send the guy to everything. So do you think that he can do both cobbles and hills, or do you think that he's better at hills than cobbles, or better at cobbles than hills?
He was good at Strade before he crashed or punctured. Yeah,
very good.
Good in the Vuelta and some of those breaks. I don't know. He'll be turning 21 next year. I don't know, to be honest. I don't know what. He might decide again, Benji, to gain 10 kilos or lose 10 kilos in the off season. He might be doing mountain bike stuff. I don't know. You look at that Fourne Ardèche result at the start of the year where he's sort of in between the likes of Tullet, Carr, Rui Costa, Barguil, Thibaut Pinot, Vlasov, Carthy. The kid can climb. So I would lean him more towards that sort of stuff because it's to your point, Benji. All those guys I mentioned, none of them can sprint for shit. And to win a race, you either need to go solo. And Mollema knows that, so he goes solo. But you can't always go solo. And Simmons is very, very fast. And I think in a reduced group, yeah, he's the one. If you got a group of 10 or 12, right, and you got Ciccone, Mollema, and they wait for Simmons and then lead him out, I think he's dangerous in those sort of races.
Think that he's an outsider for the likes of an MSR, for example, because I see him getting over to Poggio and he's got a sprint for it, but what's his positioning like? Stuff like that, we don't really know that, but are we shouting him too highly if we say that he can be an outsider, like heavy outsider, like not a... Okay.
I don't see it. His positioning and decision-making is not good enough. Okay. And Sturven's the man there, so I don't think there'll be the opportunity for it, frankly. But yeah, GC at Tour de Wallonie is impressive, and then sixth at Britannia Classic last year when he was 19 years old. So I'm really, really keen to see how this group of 22-year-olds and below develop at Trek Segafredo. I think they do have a good host of young guys in Baroncini, Asbjørn Helmoser, Dan Uhl, JP Lopez, a little bit older, Skelmose Jensen, Simmons, Tiberi. That's a lot of teams would be happy with that. And just
Cataldo.
And then there's the other spectrum, Cataldo. Yeah, I'm keen to see how those guys develop. I hope they get opportunities. I hope they get sent to the right races as well. But yeah, onto their over-under wins, Benji. Two World Tour wins this year. I'm setting the over-under at five, because two is really bad, but five World Tour wins over or under for Trek.
I think I'm going to say five. Is that over or under?
I'm saying the line at 4.5, Benji, over or under at 4.5.
Over then, five.
Okay. I'm going over.
We did this last year as well, I think.
Yeah, I know. Benji just obviously never bet on American sports. I'm going over as well. I think I'd be very surprised if they were under that. I think Pedersen and Sturven will come. Sturven was good. I think Pedersen will be better next year. Hopefully. I'm hoping and optimistic for his condition after recovering from COVID. What about, do they top five a Grand Tour, Benji?
The only chance that they really have is the Giro in my eyes, which is Ciccone. And it's going to be... I think he's going to finish seventh or so in the Giro. I just don't see it for getting that top five. I think that he's got the capabilities to keep it up for 2 weeks in a Grand Tour. Sure, the parkour does fit him on paper. He could on paper do a top five, but I'm going to say seventh anyway.
I think he will come about fifth in the Giro. So I'm saying yes. Please stay on your bike, Giulio. So I'm going yes. Do you think they podium a World Tour stage race, GC?
Any World Tour stage race?
Yeah.
I think yes. Yeah. And I think they're going to do it with...
They'll backdoor it. Bingo Bongo with Sturven. It'll be a backdoor one like that.
Or something like that, or something where... Skjelmos Jensen accidentally. Is it Skjelmos Jensen or Skjelmos Jensen? If someone knows that, drop it in the comment section. Okay. Skjelmos Jensen, whoever it is, I think he accidentally will end up at a high position in one of the stages and will have to defend it in the last mountain stage after the time trial going very well and will end up third at some race.
All right. Time for our most anticipated section, the hot takes. Benji. What, do you have any hot takes lined up? I can't remember. I think we said Sturven should be leader for MSR. I think my hot take is Mads Pedersen in yellow at the tour. I think it can happen.
But how?
Can he not do it after stage
five? First the prologue?
So prologue is good TT. So he could even take possible there. Then he's got all these sort of bonus seconds in the sprint stages.
He's going to get so many bonus seconds in the sprint stages, right?
Yeah. And then stage five, he wins solo. So I reckon Pedersen in yellow, maybe for a week. yeah, that's my hot take. Pedersen in yellow.
Okay. I think I'm going to go for Skjelmos will top 10 the tour.
Mate, he can't climb. He's not good.
Skjelmos Jensen.
I don't think he's good.
You just said he would get 13th in the tour.
Yeah, but top 10 is different to 13th.
It's three positions.
No, significant.
Mate, he's going to Guillaume Martin, okay? He's going to go in the breakaway in the third week.
Facts, they won't know who he is.
Gain 8 minutes, then he will open his jacket and fall from 7th to 10th and just finish on 10th.
Facts. That is true. Like, he'll get in a break and no one will know who this guy is. And then he'll... yeah, so possible. I want Hulgaard. Like, the hot take is Hulgaard winning a monument, winning MSR. Like, I think Hulgaard's so good, dude. I think Hulgaard will win 3 pro races this year for them. In 2022, I think Hulgaard is pretty good.
Is that a hot take though?
3 races is like not. There's not that many riders winning 3 races. It's not 1-1. It's got to be dot pro or above. It's got to be like a professional race. Even though I know
is Norway dot pro.
Norway is dot pro. Yeah. Cheating there. I'm trying to think of other hot takes I have.
My hot take is that Otto Vergaarde will once again get disqualified in RVV.
I think Pello, I don't know, he should be able to win a Giro stage from the break if he actually goes in the right break. Like, he just always goes in the suicide breaks. I think Aberastri doesn't win a race. I'm not sure that's a hot take or just facts. You got any cold takes, Benji?
Very cold takes. Oh. Looking at gold takes, I'm like, Mollema wins a stage in the Grand Tour this year. Oh. If he ends up not winning, that will look so bad.
Cold take, Tony Galpin still washed. this is what happens. We see cool guys wash, and then like DeMarchi takes Malia Rosa, or Galopin takes like the Vuelta leaders jersey for 3 days. This is what happens. So it's actually good if you get cool washed. But yeah, I don't know. I think I've already said mine, and I'm hoping Ciccone does well this year. I even think Ciccone can win a stage or two from the GC group in this year, depending on who's there. I'm really high on him. But yeah, that's. Do you think? As the last question, Benji.
I'm scared.
At what point do they change it around and Sturven gets more respect put on his name in the classics, and it's not about Pedersen? If Pedersen doesn't come back to maybe 2020 Pedersen, at what point do they do it, and do you think they will make that decision?
Well, I think that Pedersen's only moment of being selected as leader was Roubaix this year, because I was expecting Steven to be the leader in all the others.
Really?
Yeah.
RVV, you reckon Steven was leader?
Yeah.
I mean, you think that.
Dude, Stuyven's better on
Double Hill. Yeah, but I'm saying, do they know that?
Well, I don't know. I'm not I'm not Mikael Iris, our talent scout, and Gersilan Elena or something, general manager. I don't choose this. But I think that Stuyven's better for RVV than Pedersen is personally. Then again, Pedersen already podiumed RVV in the past.
Yeah.
Has Stuyven ever podiumed RVV?
I don't know. But yeah, Pedersen.
I don't know either.
Anyway. For the Trek Segafredo Women's podcast preview, that will be a separate podcast. We'll obviously be doing Women's World Tour previews as well. So I hope you stay tuned for whenever that drops. And I hope you enjoyed this. Let us know your hot and cold takes for Trek Segafredo. Do you like their signings? Do you not like their signings? Do you agree with us that it's a bit of a mixed bag? It seems a bit tailored two halves to or two different strands to me, but I really like some of the young guys they are signing. I can't wait to see them. And yeah, I hope Pedersen has a better year next year. But that's all from us for the Trek podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks, Lukov, for supporting the podcast, for supporting the show. We'll see you so shortly. Ciao.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.